So I wanted to let you know, this past Thursday night, at the end of Bill O'Reilly's show, he holds up our book and quotes from it and says he really liked the book. So Lord, you can take me now. That was very, very cool. We see the story of the Transfiguration. This is the second Sunday of Lent. And so we're getting closer to that critical point, right? And I've been highlighting this past year that arrest scene. And that's when push came to shove, when they had to make a choice. Do I stick with him or do I not? And if you recall, I talked about how, in my estimation, my perception, I see the spiritual leadership of our church kind of similar to what it was in that moment when Jesus was arrested. So you had one who betrayed Jesus, and that's the one of the 12, so 1/12. And I think there is that many. And what do I mean by that? Well, you teach that you can you don't have to follow the teachings of the church. You can give communion to a mortal sinner. You know, those would be the Judases, right? Then you had another 10 of the apostles that bolted, okay? They left in silent self-protection, is the way I framed it. They were covering their own behind and getting out of there. And I said, unfortunately, that's, and I think it's been for 2,000 years, actually, but, you know, my perception of today, the spiritual leadership in our church, there's a lot that are in silent self-protection. Okay, they don't want to really ruffle anybody's feathers, and they don't want to get beat up themselves, and so, you know, they remain silent. And then there's 1/12, the remaining 1/12. This is John the Beloved, okay? And so I had him up here most of last year, and I'm bringing him back because he does an excellent job of covering this thermometer behind me when I'm preaching. And so, no, it's I think we all need to aspire to John the Beloved, who stuck with Jesus all the way to the cross, okay? There's calls for us, and if ever it was true, it's true right now, for us to become unified. And this is where we unite, at the cross of Jesus Christ, at our own peril, okay? I mean, he identified. Remember, today we saw the Transfiguration, and Jesus pulled together his inner circle. Okay, those who were closest to him, Peter, James, and John. And he let them see him transfigured in Moses and Elijah and the voice of God. You know, he was giving them strength. He was actually giving them the gift of fear of the Lord. And we've been talking about that, how that's the gateway gift to get to all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Once you're filled with awe and wonder, okay, then your whole life is just dedicated to God. I just want to do it your way. I want to follow your will. I'm all in. That's what the gift of awe and wonder gives us, that fear of the Lord. I'm afraid, in other words, I'm afraid of ever offending you. So he was strengthening them. And that's what we're doing during this Lenten season. We're being strengthened so that we can face the cross in our own life, or the crosses, whatever it might be. I don't know about you. I don't know what God's going to do. My naivete, okay, and hopefully it's wonderful, beautiful hopefulness in God, is that what I think we're heading toward is an amazing revival in our church, because we're seeing evil so on display and exposed before us. It's frightening to see all this evil on display. But we're going to ask to be made to make a choice. When push comes to shove. I mean, it's unbelievable what evil is doing right now. Found out a half hour before I came over here, Joe Hanneman, who runs our live streaming, said, Facebook just deplatformed us. We're not allowed. According to Facebook, the holy sacrifice of the mass goes against their community standards. That's where we're at. That's where we are right now. We're being silenced. We're being censored. They're using what's called the chilling effect. you know, put us in fear. And so we best not speak up or we'll be punished. Do you see what's going on right now? And in the midst of this, we're being trampled upon. You know, one of the things I wanted to point out in today is a little bit of how we got to where we are today. So let's go all the way back to Roe v. Wade. That's 1973. It was in that time that our church, it's not disputed any longer, our church was taken control by aggressive, progressive bishops during that time. And their agenda was to water down the truths of our faith and to compromise with the world. And so, I remember during that time, you know, I counted my seminary days, and you've heard part of this before. So with these aggressive progressive bishops in total control, my 1980s seminary, my formation that I had included celebrating theologians who were all later exposed as heretics. Scripture study was a refuting of miracles as merely myths. A seminary chapel, so to speak, was more like a hall with chairs and no kneelers. The sacrament of confession was ignored. Not 1 minute of Eucharistic adoration was offered in all of my seminary training. Those caught with a devotion to Mary were told to leave seminary and seek psychiatric counseling for their fanaticism. And homosexuality was celebrated openly. Let that sink in. And nobody was standing up against them. So this was all allowed to be normalized. You know, I keep pointing back. I think you might have heard me talk about this. I don't remember if I did in the Daily Mass or Sunday Mass, but I talk about this short film, 9 minutes. I'm probably going to post it later today so you can see it, but sing a little louder. And it was basically, there was train tracks behind a Catholic church in Germany in the early 1940s, and it's happened to stop during their Mass, and the Jewish people were screaming from the inside, please help us. Please help us. And what did the priest do? First of all, he's preaching on, turn the other cheek, pray for those who persecute you. And then he started preaching louder to try to drown it out. Then he cued the choir director to start singing. Then he got the choir. And then he asked them to sing a little louder until finally they couldn't hear the screams any longer. You know, we wonder how an atrocity, 6 million Jews, two-thirds of all Jewish people in Nazi-controlled Europe were wiped out. While silence was the only thing that happened to stand against that. Fast forward through my seminary years, now to 1973, end of my seminary years, 20 years later, 1993, a nun had it, and she said this, I'm so tired of you liberal church in America, and everything you've ever done is done in silence. Nothing you've done, from your witchcraft to your anagrams to your centering prayer to all this earth spirituality to replacing holy water with sand to destroying our church and closing churches that are viable and ready to go. No, this is not an accident. We've swallowed this now for 30 years. I'm tired of it. We swallowed enough of your idea of God. You have really no God. You have no dogma, no doctrine, no authority, because the only authority in the Catholic Church is our Holy Father and the Magisterium, and you have disclaimed that. You don't believe in the Eucharist. You don't believe in the Immaculate Conception. You don't believe in the virgin birth. You don't believe in Mary's power of intercession. You don't believe in religious life. You don't believe in being a spouse of Christ. You do believe in teaching to little children of the third grade sex education. You do believe in forcing centering prayer and forcing inclusive language upon us. And now you depict Jesus as a woman. You are sick. That was 20 years after Roe v. Wade. Finally, somebody spoke up. Now, abortion was entrenched, was normalized. From this moment on, we would see it become acceptable to encourage such things as the sacred offering of the Mass, Eucharistic adoration, the sacrament of confession, devotion to the Blessed Mother, rosary, and other devotions, sacramentals. And it became acceptable to speak openly and clearly about the teachings of the Church. This fostering of a strong Catholic identity led to a sudden rise in vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Catholic universities and all Catholic schools with this strong Catholic identity exploded in attendance. And while Catholic participation continued to decline, there was a resurgence of dedicated and engaged Catholics in those parishes celebrating their strong Catholic identity, what I like to call the treasure chest of the Catholic faith. This was a heyday of the Catholic Church. Those who are old enough can recall that. From 1993 on, we were basically given permission to come out of our catacombs of silence and to celebrate being a Catholic once again. It was amazing, those years. And what emerged was more pro-life activity. And so, a country entrenched in the belief that it's just fine to kill innocent children began to change their mind, began to wake up, began to listen to another voice. When only one voice was heard for 20 years from 1973 to 1993. I recall when I was ordained in 1988, we were not allowed to speak the word abortion. We were told to let people's conscience overrule the teachings of the Church, the teachings of God. If your conscience believes you should do it, then go ahead, especially in the area of contraception. Now, this wasn't a mandate from above. This was a universal understanding. And what did priests know? Priests knew that if they dare spoke the word abortion, just the word itself, that's all, letters would be written to the bishop. And the bishop would not have the priest back. Instead, the bishop would admonish the priest for being divisive. The heyday seemed to come to a screeching halt in 2013. This was the beginning of the nothing to lose second term of Obama. Just a few weeks later, Pope Benedict would offer his resignation, which, by the way, this is the anniversary today of his resignation in 2013. Baghdadi would combine forces, the Islamic State, to form ISIS. And while ISIS was beheading Christians around the world, we in America were being robbed of our religious freedoms. The floodgates opened wide, and a new and fresh resurgence of radical secularism ushered in during that time. We normalized two men marrying each other. We're in the process of normalizing grown men sharing a bathroom with little girls. They're working on pedophilia. Go ahead and marry three or four people at a time if you want. And we're told to be silent. We're told to be silent because we want to unify. We don't want to be divided. I go back to Nazi Germany. You know, what if the Nazi party and another party was put up to a vote? So, the platform of Nazism is, hey, we're going to go ahead and kill 6 million Jews. Could you go ahead and vote for Nazis as a Christian? Well, there's so many other issues that we might want to consider here. Are you kidding me? Fast forward to today. One party says that it's perfectly okay to murder innocent, defenseless little children. And another party says no. Well, but there's other, issues that we want to consider. It's not the only issue. Killing 6 million Jews is not the only issue. 1.7 billion children slaughtered under our watch is not the only issue. I love this image of John the Beloved. This is the legend that he was given a cup filled with poison. And he said, not on my watch, I'm not drinking your poison. You know where that phrase comes from? It's on the Benedict medal, body retro systonic. Get back, Satan. Back off. It's around the edges of the Benedict medal. It's the letters that indicate this. May the Holy Cross be my light. May the dragon never be my guide. Back off, Satan. Never tempt me with your vanities. What you offer me is evil. Drink your own poison. We're being poisoned. It's not just another time. Just as killing 6 million Jews was not just another time where we have political debates. So, Jesus got them ready. How did he do that? He filled their soul with awe and wonder. We need to do that. Lord Jesus Christ, I love you more than anything, anybody, including myself. I will do your will and your will alone. You see, that's where unity is. That's where we need to be. We don't find middle ground with somebody who wants to kill 6 million Jews or somebody who wants to be a part of 1.7 billion children. There is no middle ground with that. And I want to say this as I'm about to conclude too. Is that we can't use the tactics of the devil. We can only use God's tactics. I believe Mother Angelica used God's tactics. You know, where did she get her inspiration? Jesus Christ himself, the second person of the Holy Trinity, said to the hierarchy of his day, you brood of vipers. She was overheard in a phone call where they wanted to take control. These radical, aggressive, progressive bishops, they wanted to take control of WTN, and she said, I'll blow the thing up before you get your hands on it. That was modeled by Jesus Christ, by the way, you brood of vipers. But what can't we do? We can't what's called detraction. We can't go after individuals and ruin their reputations. Can we admonish the sinner? You bet. But we can't go after people. And so detraction is making stuff up about the person. Don't we know that somebody just went through that for the last 4 years? To ruin their reputation. Calumny is focusing on somebody's weaknesses in order to ruin their reputation. And justice rarely allows that. Okay? We can't do that. Especially we can't do that with each other. Satan is the deceiver. He wants us to drink his poison. And he's the divider. He wants us at each other's throat. I think I said this before. I never get on Twitter. I've put my toe in the water a few times. I'm going, this place is demonic. Because it's just a platform for calumny and detraction. That's all they're doing is attacking each other. I notice the bishop gets on that. I wish he'd get off that thing. It's terrible. We can't do that. But we can go after movements that are pulling us away from building the kingdom of God and instead building a satanic kingdom. We can go after those. And in fact, instead of attacking individuals, why don't we pray for them? Here's one of the things I propose. I printed out a picture of our president. Anybody can do that with a printer. And I attached a green scapular to it that was touched by a relic of the True Cross, this particular one. And I've been praying, and I plan to ramp up my prayers. I want to see his conversion. That's how we operate. That's how we operate. We don't go after him personally. Now, modeled well for us, the bishops are naming things that he's doing that are not right. Okay, that's different. But I've seen a lot of people just ridiculing him. We can't do that. We can't do that. But what are we doing here? We're putting prayer first. What did Jesus do in today's gospel? He put prayer first. Remember, second Sunday of Lent. Okay, we're heading toward the arrest scene. He wants them strong. Peter and James, they'll make a mistake and they'll have to make up for it later. John stayed. Unity is not us compromising with evil. Unity is us willing to stay with the truth and help other people come to that as well. Our unity is in our strength, not in our watered-down compromising. You know, people who are caught in sin, the corruption of this world, meaninglessness, purposelessness, they want a way out. And so they're looking for strength. They're looking for people who are dedicated. They're looking for people who are all in. This is real, they'll say to themselves. Okay, this might be my way out. Yeah, I keep hearing calls for, we don't want to be too strong because they're not ready yet. Nonsense. I want the antidote to the poison. So, my brothers and sisters, let's take this time to get stronger and stronger. We're doing this. This is amazing. But I urge you, find time to, and this has been my deal. I think we're in a time now, like the Transfiguration, where we're to experience the glory of God. And so to strengthen our fear of the Lord muscle. So please, try not to get in that punch the clock kind of mode in your faith. Stop. Get to an adoration chapel. Get to times we offer it here. Or just simply come early or stay late. But get face to face, eye to eye with our Lord. Like his close-knit group, his sons of thunder, right? James, John, and Peter. beheld in today's gospel. We got to get strong. The tyranny is coming so fast and so hard. And we're going to be made to make a choice. Do we stick with the Lord or not? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.